This is an exciting subject today, the psychic world. We're going to be talking about spiritualism, how it's trying to enter into our church, and some of the last signs that are going to take place. We touched on that yesterday. And let's begin this day with a word of prayer, asking for the Holy Spirit to be our guide. Gracious Father, we thank You so much for this time together. Lord, today as we expose the works of the devil, as we see how spiritualism is entering into the churches, including the Seventh-day Adventist Church, we just pray for the Holy Spirit. We pray for the good angels. We pray that the bad angels will be cast out and Jesus Christ will be lifted up and glorified. So bless us right now by Your power. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to show you something about spiritualism, about unlucky numbers. Some people believe that the number 13 is an unlucky, unholy number. So here's what I'd like for you to do. Find a $1 bill in your pocketbook or in your wallet and take it out. I want you to look at the back of a $1 bill real quick here. You got to see this. If you don't have one, borrow one from your neighbor. And your neighbor will let you look at one of their $1 bills. But I want you to see what's on the back of a $1 bill. You know, there's a lot of people that really believes that the number 13 is unlucky and unholy. I was down at Myrtle Beach some years ago, and I was on floor number 14. As I walked out the door, this little girl come running by, and she stopped me. She said, "Stop, stop." She said, and she started laughing. She said, "You're on an unlucky number here." And I said, "No, I'm on number 14, 14th floor." She said, "No, it's 13. And she went running off laughing. And I thought, why'd she do that? So I decided to go down to the floor underneath us to see what number it was. So I went down underneath number 14, and it was number 12. They had skipped number 13 because some people believe the number 13 is unlucky, unholy. And so, but looking at, you have your $1 bill ready? Look at the back of the $1 bill. The pyramid, 13 steps. Isn't that interesting? Look at the eagle, 13 arrows and one talon. Look at the branch, 13 leaves, 13 berries in the other branch. The ribbon in its beak, bearing the Latin phrase, has 13 letters. Over its head are 13 stars. The shield bears 13 stripes. 13, 13, 13, 13. Now, there's a real possibility, if you believe that those 13s are unlucky numbers, unholy, pass all your dollars in right now. We'll take them up. We'll use them, these unlucky numbers. That's right. But now, I want you to look at the back of a $20 bill, because I will take those up, all right? Let's get serious. Let's get serious. Our mission and what we share, how spiritualism is sneaking into the churches. Friends, we have a mission. We have been called of God to carry the gospel to the world. Every one of us, we're all ministers, and God wants to use us to glorify His holy name. We've got to find our place. We've got to pray about our gifts, and then we've got to put those gifts to work. But there's something happening, my friends. The devil is doing everything. He's like a roaring lion. He knows that his time is short. So he is bringing everything he can into the church. He's trying to deceive in any way he can. He's trying to keep us from doing the work that God's called us to do. And we're going to look at that today. Because there are so many ways that the devil is working to deceive and to destroy. So our mission is to carry the gospel. We're called of God to warn the world. Two great errors that the world needs to understand. And you'll find these two mentioned throughout the spirit of prophecy. The two great deceptions. One, the Antichrist attempted to change God's law, changing His holy Sabbath from the seventh to the first day of the week. This is one of the great errors that's being throughout Christendom, throughout the whole world. The second one is right close to it. And that is the teaching of the immortality of the soul. Or we should say, spiritualism. Now, as Seventh-day Adventists, we say, hey, we know better. We know what spiritualism is. I do not believe that you go to heaven, hell, purgatory, limbo, or you come back as a chicken. I believe the dead are dead and they're waiting for the resurrection. I believe that they're asleep. So we say, hey, as a Seventh-day Adventist, I don't have any worries about that. I'm not going to get deceived. But it's amazing, if the devil cannot get us on one point, he'll come around another way and another angle, and he'll try to get us on another point. And that's what we're going to look at today, since we already know the truth about death and what the Bible teaches. As God's people, we need to understand the issue. So today, how spiritualism is attempting to sneak into the church. Now, this may be hard-hitting for some, but I share it with you in a heart of love, okay? If I'm going to share what I know to be in God's holy word, then I have to share this subject today. And I want you to pray for me. Some of you may not like it. Some of you may even get upset with me. But keep on praying for me, okay? Because the Lord loves you, He loves me, and He wants us all to be ready when Jesus comes back. Amen? Spiritualism. 80% of the cartoons on the TV screens deals with the occult. 40% of all the toys sold in the toy stores deals with the occult. I did something one day. My wife is going shopping and taking her little girl with her. And so I decided, hey, they're gone. I'm going to turn the cartoon channel on. And so I switched the TV on to see what was being seen by children all over the world or all over the United States. And as I turned it on, I was amazed at what children are watching today. These monsters, Dungeons and Dragons creatures, and all these horrible-looking things. And I started wondering why. What's the purpose? Because when I was growing up, it was programs like Mighty Mouse, Superman, Mickey Mouse, and programs like that. And Popeye, that's right. But today, look what we have today. I mean, you've got stuff that is so crazy. I mean, there's monsters. There's things that claim to have great powers that can do all kinds of things. And these are the things our children are watching. So why? I believe that the devil is preparing these little minds for something that's going to happen in the future. And so, as a parent, as a child of God, we've got to guard our children's eyes and ears and so forth. Amen? Until they're old enough to do it for themselves. We've got to instill in them the beautiful principles that they need to know about. That Jesus loves them. But at the same time, Jesus wants to protect them from all the evils that are taking place. One of the things that's on TV or used to be is what they called He-Man. You ever heard of that one? He-Man is a character that's supposed to have supernatural powers. A little boy brought this little toy to me one night in our meetings. By the way, all this stuff I have on the table has been given to me over the years. And some of it's been stolen out of my home. Some of it's out of my barn. Some of it's been stolen through the U.S. Postal. I've lost a lot of it, and then I gain more because people keep bringing it to me. I burn a lot. So, by the way, it keeps adding up. But anyway, he brought this little toy to me. And he said, here, I want to give this to you. I want to stop playing with He-Man toys. And I said, what's wrong with it? And you look at it, it's got kind of a strong-looking character, but all of a sudden, if you turn its head in two directions, you end up with a monster, something real horrible-looking. And it just tells us that these are little toys and things that kids are playing with. A little girl brought this to me one night. She said, I want to add this to your collection. And I said, well, what is it, just a little stuffed animal there? She said, no, but you got to see what this animal does. And then she began to show me what happened. She said, it transforms into something cruel and a little monster with horns and with claws. And by the way, these claws are sharp. I couldn't believe a little tiny girl would have something like this. And then it's got two horns. And then it even opens up with wings and it begins to fly. And she said, I want to add, it looks like a dragon now, doesn't it? And she wanted to add that to our collection. And these are things we've got to look out for. Now, here's one that was given to me just a few months ago. Purchased at the Dollar General, and it's beautiful. Isn't that pretty? It's just a pretty little stuffed animal here, a little huggable bear. And the person who brought it to me said, "You got to listen to what this thing says. It says the Lord's Prayer, okay? But listen closely to how it begins. Now you got to really listen. So I don't want anyone saying anything. Just listen closely because it's the first two words, and then it says the whole Lord's Prayer. But you've got to hear it because I'm not going to play it a second time, okay? Here goes."
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom
Hey, did you catch it? Ah, it starts off with our mother, which art in heaven. Isn't that neat? Neat? What's the devil doing today? You see how he's trying to deceive, even starting the little children off with our mother. And this is why this is so important, because, my friends, there is a push, as I brought out the other day, a big push to make Mary a co-redeemer. Even though it's already done, it's never been passed for law in the Catholic Church, but it's being done today. Mary, you can go to Mary just as well as you can go to Jesus Christ. Friends, listen, we go to God through Jesus. Amen? Jesus is the Son of the living God. Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is our Mediator. And He is the one that we follow. And we must follow day by day. Now, what about cartoons? Let me share with you. Pokemon. Countless elementary age children are involved with Pokemon. Is Pokemon good or bad? Let's test it in other programs and toys by the Bible. The Word of God says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Romans 12:9. And 1 John 2:21 says, no lie is of the truth. And we talked about that yesterday. Now, who produced the trading card game? The Pokemon trading card game is a collectible card game that is made and distributed by Wizards of the Coast, the same company that made the game Magic the Gathering. Magic the Gathering is a heavily occult-laced trading card game very popular in the 1990s. Wizard of the Coast also owns TSR, the producers of all the Dungeons and Dragons materials. Now, if you don't know anything about Dungeons and Dragons, it's a game that not only do children play, but adults play. I've seen college-age students involved in Dungeons & Dragons, and they become one of the characters in Dungeons & Dragons. I was conducting a meeting a few years ago. This young man came to the meeting, and he heard this message that I speak on spiritualism, and he said, I've got to talk to you. He was very much involved in Dungeons & Dragons to the point he was one of the characters in Dungeons & Dragons, and that night he was going to commit suicide because he was taught by being that certain character that he would resurrect the next morning. And so we saved him from that. He gave his life to the Lord. The next day he came back to our meetings and he brought to me thousands of dollars worth of books. I mean, he had a stack of them. We had fun burning those books too. But it was all involving Dungeons & Dragons. My friends, this stuff's real. But let me go back to the Pokemon. The Pokemon rap song goes this way, quote, I will travel across the land, searching far and wide, each Pokemon to understand the power that's inside. Gotta catch them all. Have you heard of the New Age movement? That you have power within yourself to do all kinds of things? Let me say something about power. The true power comes from God, amen? If you want to have power, we allow God to come into our lives. Some of the characters in Pokemon are self-centered, vindictive, headstrong, and stubborn. One of the characters is prone to cross-dressing, sexually preoccupied. Pokemon has supernatural powers. Some Pokemon grow or evolve. This is facilitated by the energy cards that make your Pokemon bigger and more powerful. What is the source of this power? It is the pantheistic power of the occult, not the supernatural power of God. Two of the characters go by the names of Abra and Kadabra, a word associated with occult magic. The definition of the word is a Kabbalistic word held to possess supernatural powers. On the Abra card, we read these words. Using the ability to read minds, it will identify impending danger and teleport to safety. The occult symbol is found on Kadabra, a pentagram on his forehead. The Bible in Deuteronomy 18:10 through 12 says that we are neither to participate nor associate with the occult. In the booklet that comes with Pokemon is a very shocking and spiritualistic statement. Quote, carry your Pokemon with you, and you're ready for anything. You've got the power in your hands, so use it. Friends, you know what our children are doing? They're playing with these things. True power comes by trusting in Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to write these verses down. Luke 10:17-19. Luke 10:17-19, because as I share this stuff with you today, you're going to say, boy, the devil has power. But friends, don't miss what it says in Luke 10. It says that God has given to His people power. power over all the spiritual enemy. And we have that power, but we're not supposed to go around and boast, hey, I've got power over the demons. It says don't do that. It says rather rejoice because your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But praise God, He gives us the power. Let's go to another one, Sabrina the Witch. Magic is used over and over again. She has power to erase things from others' minds. The name witch tells it all. Deuteronomy 18:10, Exodus 22:18 says we should have nothing to do with witches. Pepper Ann. Burning candles have long been used by Satanists in occult practices. One of the programs, one of the characters wears a good luck charm and has candles burning all around. Now, friends, do we need a good luck charm to keep us safe? What about a rabbit's foot? Do we need to carry one? You know, I've got some keys that are mailed out by ministers. You know, ministers are doing that today. If you'll send them $25, they'll send you a gold key. If you keep that key on your body, someplace on your body, you will never suffer financial ruin. Cost you $25, though. All right, dragon tails. In one of the programs, the characters were told to rub two crystals together for great power. A dragon, of course, represents what in the Bible? The devil, Revelation 12:17. The statement is made by two of the characters, I wish, I wish. Then they disappear and go back home. Magic is practiced over and over again. You know, it's amazing what crystals are being used for today. Now, don't get me wrong, there are some things that are okay in themselves and then other times can be bad, but this here, a lady gave to me in one of our meetings. It's a little crystal, you know. How many of you have been going down the road and you see something hanging like this from the rearview mirror? And the sun hits it just right, and boy, it's beautiful inside. You see all kind of sparkling things. But I thought it was amazing what came with that crystal. Listen to this. Through the centuries, vast civilizations have cherished crystals for their beauty and power. Roman pharaohs wore crystals to increase physical and mental power. And even today, many believe in the mystical powers of crystals. That's something, isn't it? How these things are used for sometimes pretty bad things. Then we've got Teletubbies. You ever heard of them? What can I say? Space aliens with strange voices? And what is that baby doing in the sun? Have you ever wondered about that? Why is that baby, at the very end of the program, it shows that baby inside the sun. What does that represent? Ezekiel 8:16, write it down. Ezekiel 8:16 says, he saw God's people in the temple, and all of a sudden, they had turned their backs from the temple, and they were worshiping S-U-N, the sun. And here's what you're going to find. In all satanic practices, in all types of spiritualism, they use symbols. And three of the things that they all use is the sun, the moon, and the stars. You'll find it on everything that has something to do with spiritualism. And that's why, on a Ouija board, anybody ever played one of these? Don't raise your hand. Okay. Somebody might want to talk to you. All right, you've got the three things. You've got the sun, you've got the moon, and you've got the stars. And of course, you've got the letters and so forth on here, but you find it. And these things are sold in toy stores. And you talk about satanic. I want to tell you, a Ouija board is satanic. Because what do? They ask it questions. You have two people. You have a dial. You ask it questions, and the dial moves and spells things out. I've had the experience of helping a lot of people confess to the Lord, burn those things, and surrender their lives to Christ. I'll never forget one young man, he was playing with the Ouija board, and he would ask it all kind of questions, and it would answer him. Everything he would ask it, it would answer him, to the point that strange things started happening in his home. One night he went to bed early, his wife watching TV. He walked into the kitchen, turned off the lights, locked the doors, crawled in the bed. A few minutes later, he turned over, the light was on, the door was wide open. He got up, thought his wife had been turning the lights on and opened the door and forgot to close it. He closed the door, locked it, turned off the light, went back to bed. A few minutes later, he turned over, the light was on again. He went into the living room where his wife was watching TV and said, what are you doing? Why did you leave the light on twice? I can't sleep. She said, well, I haven't moved. I've been in bed. I've been watching TV. So they both decided it was time to go to bed, you know. Let's go crawl underneath the covers. And so they went in, they checked the doors, turned out the lights, crawled in the bed. A few minutes later, they heard the door open, the light turned on, someone walking across the floor. He jumped up, Ronnie jumped up, went running in there, looking around. There was no one in sight. Closed the door, locked it, turned the light out, crawled back in bed. A few minutes later, heard his little boy screaming in the bedroom. Ronnie jumped up, grabbed his umbrella. That was the only thing he had right there close by. Went running in there, turned the light on. Here was his little boy screaming. Someone had been beating him with a boot. Here was a boot, but no body, no person. So Ronnie got on the phone and he called the man that got him involved in this stuff. This man had told Ronnie that Jesus worshiped demons, that Jesus had played with Ouija boards. And can you believe people believe these kind of things? And so Ronnie believed it. So this man came over. He said a few things in another language. Hey, everything was all right for that night. And then I got the chance to meet with Ronnie, and I asked him two questions. I said, Ronnie, have you ever played with a Ouija board? Have you ever been to a fortune teller? And in most cases, people will answer yes to that if they're involved in some kind of spiritualistic teaching or something. So he had done both. So I shared with him from the Bible what the Bible says. And praise God, Ronnie decided to burn the Ouija board, give his life to Jesus, and put Jesus Christ first in his life. I was up in Cambridge, Maryland. I was speaking on this same subject. A lady came up to me, she and her 17-year-old son. She said, we've got to talk to you. Pulled me aside. She said, strange things have been happening in our home. And I said, well, as soon as they say that, I ask them, I say, well, have you ever played with a Ouija board? Have you ever been to a fortune teller? Well, yes. But she said, the reason I'm coming to talk to you, I want you to visit my daughter and her husband and the small baby. I said, all right. So I set up an appointment. And she told me a little bit about what was happening, knocked on the door, and this beautiful young lady came to the door, invited me into the living room. A few minutes later, the husband comes in, and we began to talk, because I knew they had been involved. So I asked him two questions. You ever played with the Ouija board? You ever been to a fortune teller? Oh, yes, she said. Yeah, you know, we played with it and went to the fortune teller, and the fortune teller told us about her baby, told me who I'd marry, and everything that the fortune teller told me has happened. And I said, you've been playing with the works of the devil. And then they began to ask me questions. They said, do you feel strange here in our living room? And I said, why, what do you mean? She said, when people come into our living room here, it's like a dark, heavy cloud comes down upon them. You know, he would start asking questions like that. You start feeling all kinds of, you know. And I said, well, no, I feel pretty good. And they said, well, strange things have been happening in our house. She said, one day I came home from buying the groceries, walked in the kitchen door. And when I walked in the kitchen area, you can see the living room area. And she said, there in the corner was a man standing dressed in black. She said, after a few seconds, he disappeared. She said, one day I was eating my lunch at the table, and all of a sudden, I felt someone breathing on the back of my neck. She said, I turned around, and here was a woman dressed in pink. After a few seconds, she disappeared. She said, I was in the shower, taking a shower one day, and all of a sudden I was shoved up against the wall. She said, I thought my husband was playing games, so I jerked the curtain open, and when I did, I could see my husband out in the yard mowing the yard. She said, one night, the middle of the night, sound asleep, all of a sudden there's a crash in the hallway. She said, we jumped up, turned the light on, and here was this plant that we had placed in the hallway, weighed about 40 pounds, had been thrown from one end of the hall, weighed all the way to the other end, up against the wall, and dirt was all over the place. I told her, I said, sister, you've been playing with the works of the devil. She said, please don't tell anybody about our house being haunted. And I said, I'm not going to tell anybody because I don't believe in haunted houses. I do not believe in haunted. I've slept in houses that people claim were probably haunted, and I slept like a baby, no problem at all. I don't believe in haunted houses. I believe that people invite demons into their homes. And that's what makes it wrong. So here's what they told this lady to do. I don't know who it was, some spiritualist, said, because she was having all kind of strange things happening in the home, they told her to go out and buy a Bible for every table in the house and put a Bible on every table in the house, and that would scare the demons away. So I picked up one of the Bibles, and I picked it up, and I said, do you ever read this? Oh, no, we're not religious people. We just want to scare the demons away. I said, no way. The Bible in the heart and in the mind will scare the demons away. Amen? So, hey, if you're going to have a Bible, don't just put it on the table. We need to study it and search the Scriptures. So spiritualism is real. Devil worship is real. And I want to tell you, just to show you how the devil is working, you think for a moment what has happened in the last few months with movies. Can you imagine Harry Potter? How it has spread all over this country. It is being taught in some public schools as part of their curriculum. I mean, I cannot believe. And they won't allow a religious person to come in because it'd be church and state, but they can bring spiritualism right into the classroom. I want to tell you something, brothers and sisters. If your kids are not in Christian schools, hey, you better start praying about that, because our kids are being taught things that you don't want them to be taught. Either homeschooling or something. because we're living in the last days of this earth's history, and the devil doesn't care what he teaches them. He's going to teach them. And we got to be ready for it. And somebody said, well, what's wrong with Harry Potter? Friends, listen, if you see one of the previews or commercials about Harry Potter riding on that broom, and when it talks about witches and when it talks about different things dealing with spiritualism, I haven't watched it. I don't have to. I've seen enough. But it's for real. And it's not just that. It's so many other programs that are spreading all over the world. When I look at some of the toys, look at this here. Can you imagine? We got kids playing with these things. What is it? It's some kind of lizard with a monster looking face look at this here. Can you imagine this? These are toys in the toy stores that our kids are playing with. Grandparents and parents alike should be praying about this subject, because these are things that are coming into the homes. Some countries are concerned. Saudi issues an Islamic edict banning Pokemon games and cards. Saudi Arabia's highest religious authority has issued an edict banning Pokemon games and cards, saying they have possessed the minds of children. Boy, got this over the email. It's amazing. Some of these countries, they know what it's all about, right? But let's do something else. We talked about the children, and we say, oh yeah, boy. And some of us older folks say, yeah, you people's got kids. You need to do that now. And they start pointing their fingers. Let's bring it home to everybody, all right? And this is where one of my concerns is within our church. The devil doesn't care how he gets us, as long as he can get in some way. And he'll try a million ways to do it. I want you to take your Bibles. I want you to go with me over in the Word of God to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 4. Before we read the verse, I want to ask you a question. The people in the Old Testament, those that did not worship God, what did they worship? Idols. What else did they worship? What else? Moon. What else? Very good. They worshiped. I had all kinds of worship things that they worshiped. But in the Bible, we find it's clearly spelled out. Well, look at Deuteronomy chapter 4. Let's begin with that text. Deuteronomy chapter 4, and look at verse 19. Deuteronomy 4, verse 19. Lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest, look what it says, the sun, the moon, and the stars, even all the host of heaven. Now, keep in mind what these verses are saying. Sun, moon, and stars, host of heaven. What is the host of heaven? Moon, sun, and stars. That's the host of heaven. Shouldest be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided into all nations under the whole heaven. It was not God's will for people to worship the sun, the moon, and the stars. Why? Because it was a symbol in Old Testament times of being demonic worship, worshiping false gods. King Nebuchadnezzar was a sun worshiper. Nimrod was a sun worshiper. That's why they helped to build the Tower of Babel. I mean, you go all the way back to the worship of the sun. And that's why we have some of the things we have today, dealing with sun worship. But how serious was it to worship the sun, the moon, and the stars? Let's go to Deuteronomy, another place. Deuteronomy chapter 17. Deuteronomy chapter 17. And look at verse 2 here. Deuteronomy 17, verse 2. And if there be found among you within any of thy gates which the Lord thy God giveth thee, man or woman that hath wrought wickedness in the sight of the Lord thy God in transgressing his covenant, and hath gone and served other, what's the next word? Now look at that word, gods, little g, and an s at the end, plural, other gods. Now listen to what it says. Either the sun or the moon, or any of the host of the heaven, which I have not commanded. Verse 5 says this, then shalt thou bring forth that man or that woman which have committed that wicked thing unto thy gates, even that man or that woman, then shalt stone them with stones till they die. The punishment in the Old Testament for worshiping the heavenly bodies, sun, moon, and stars, was death. For God to give a punishment like that meant that it was a very serious thing. Amen? And so God condemned this. the worship of the sun, the moon, and the stars. Now, I don't have a chalkboard up here. If I had, I could do some artwork for you. But my artwork's not that great, so I'm going to let you imagine for a moment, okay? I want to take you back to the origin of jewelry, all right? The origin of jewelry goes way, way back. It's been around ever since the Egyptians and even before. I mean, it's in history to tell you that. But I take you all the way back, and we're going to show the origin of jewelry. In your mind, take a round circle, which is the sun. Take a part moon and put it on the top of that sun. And then let's take a one-pointed star and put it right in the middle of that moon. What you have is you have a symbol. If you can imagine what it looks like, you've got the round circle, you've got the two horns, part moon, and then you've got a one horn right in the middle, which is a very much a symbol of satanic worship. Just like the goat's head is a symbol of satanic worship. In the Bible, the goat represents Satan, who is led off into the wilderness, you remember, in the book of Leviticus. But here you have these symbolisms. The round circle, which represents the sun, is the part that goes around the finger. The part that's a part moon is the part that holds the diamond, and the one-pointed star is the diamond that fits right in there. The origin of jewelry goes all the way back to sun, moon, and star worship. That's where it started. That's how it originated. Now somebody said, well, John, it doesn't mean that to me. Of course it doesn't. Of course it doesn't. But let me share something with you. If you came to my home tomorrow, and on my flagpole in the front of my yard, I had a Nazi flag instead of an American flag, what would you think about me? Hey, what's wrong with this guy, right? You know? But wait a minute. The Second War had just ended when I was born. But wait a minute, the symbolism is still there, right, of what it means. So when I wear jewelry and things, it doesn't mean that I worship the sun, moon, and stars. But to God, the symbolism is still there, and the real meaning. Now let's go to something in the Bible. I've talked enough, let's show you what the Bible says. Look at Exodus 35. Because it's best to read it right from the Word. Exodus chapter 35, and look here at verse 22. Exodus 35, verse 22 says this. Actually, look at 33, first of all. Exodus 33, and we're going to read verse 5. Exodus 33, verse 5. For the Lord had said unto Moses, say unto the children of Israel, you are a stiff-necked people. I will come up in the midst of thee in a moment, consume thee. Therefore now put off thy, what? Ornaments from thee, but that I may know what to do unto thee. Now here he calls it ornaments. Now what did they take off? Look at chapter 35, verse 22. Chapter 35, verse 22. The Bible says, and every man with whom, wrong verse. Exodus 35, verse 22. They came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, they brought bracelets. Now notice it's all in the plural. They brought bracelets, earrings, rings, tablets, all jewels of gold, and every man that offered, offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. These were the things, the ornaments, that they took off. But now drop back to Genesis chapter 35. This is one of those chain reference studies, okay? Genesis chapter 35, and look at verse 2 and 4. Genesis 35, 2 and 4. Then Jacob said to his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange, what's the next word? Notice the little G. Notice the S. The strange gods that are among you, and be clean and change your garments. All right, what did they take off? Look at verse 4, Genesis 35, verse 4. They gave unto Jacob all the strange, here it is again, gods, which were in their hand, rings, and in their ears, earring, or all their earrings, which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak. In this particular chapter, God calls rings, earrings, gods. A little G with an S, which is plural, which means all of it was considered a god at that time. Now, go way over to the New Testament with me. The 1 Peter chapter 3. And I want you to see what the New Testament says on this. 1 Peter chapter 3, and then I'm coming to something So bear with me. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 says, "Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not a corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." 1 Timothy, turn back a few pages. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. Another reason this subject is so important, friends, is this. As Seventh-day Adventists, we have told our young people over the years, you shouldn't wear it. Right? But we've never told them why. I've had people in their 30s and 40s. I was told as I was growing up, I shouldn't wear it. I shouldn't do it. But nobody ever told me why. And so that's why I'm doing it today. And friends, as we talk on this subject, it's not just women. I mean, you take men today. When I became a Christian, I was wearing as much jewelry as my wife did. I mean, I had a bracelet with her picture on it, and I wore the rings and the jewelry too. So it's not just a woman's thing. And you take the men today with their ears. You know, when I was growing up, if a man pierced his ear, it meant more than a sissy. I mean, but anyway, that's another subject. 1 Timothy 2, look at verse 9. 1 Timothy 2, verse 9 says, "In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array." Now these are texts we've seen, and some of them don't even make a whole lot of sense when you read them. But drop back to Exodus, and I want you to see something that takes place here, and it's going to be very clear. Exodus 32. Something happened with the children of Israel. When God brought them out of Egypt, they're on their way to the promised land. Just like we are in the wilderness right now. Did you know that? We're in the wilderness. The devil's trying to bind us. There's bondage all around us. And we're on our way to the promised land. And there are certain things as Christians we should be doing as we prepare to go into the promised land. But in Exodus 32, beginning with verse 1, follow along with me. Notice what happened. "When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us..." What's the word? Hey, wait a minute. It's the same word. Same spelling. Little G and an S at the end. Let's read on. "Make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, of your daughters, and bring them unto me." Notice, he said, break them off of your sons and your daughters. The boys back then were wearing jewels as much as they are today. There's nothing new under the sun. You know, so it's not just a woman's thing, it's a man's thing too. Let's read on. "And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and they brought them unto Aaron." Now here's a big question. Where did they get these things that they had in the wilderness, and they took off and so forth? Where did they come from? They came from Egypt, which they should have left behind, but they didn't. Let me read on. Listen to what else he says. Verse 4, "He received them at their hand, fashioned it with a graven tool, after he had made it a molten calf, and they said, These be thy," what's the word? "Gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, Tomorrow's a feast to the Lord." Now, friends, you've got to think about this. They come before him. They say, make us gods. They do it. They take them off, jewelry and so forth. And then it says we're going to make a feast to the Lord. You talk about taking truth and mingling it with error. Boy, they did it then, didn't they? But look what happened. Verse 5. "When Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation, said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. They rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said unto Moses, Get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest up out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves." What had they done? They made a golden calf, and they did what? They worshipped it. They broke which commandment? First one says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. The second one says, thou shalt not make any graven images and bow down and worship them. But if you break one, you break how many? Basically, they'd broken them all. But what were they actually worshipping? Now, wait a minute. There's a golden calf there. And they're bowing down. So what are they worshipping? Now, come on. What's that thing there in front of them? It's a calf, right? It's an image of a calf, and that's what they're worshiping. Go with me to Acts chapter 7. You've got to see this. Listen to what God says in His Word. The book of Acts tells us about this story of what was happening. Here they've taken the jewels, they've brought them together, they've melted them down, they've made a golden calf, and they're bowing down and dancing around in front of this thing. Look at Acts 7, verse 40. Well, actually, look at verse 39 first of all. To whom our fathers would not obey. Notice that. They would not obey. But thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt, saying unto Aaron, make us, what's the word? Here's that little G and S at the end. To go before us. For as for this Moses, which brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. They made a calf in those days, they offered sacrifice unto the idol, and they rejoiced in the works of their own hands. They melted it down. They're bowing down in front of it. Moses is up on Mount Sinai, receiving the Ten Commandments written with the finger of God. And here they are, breaking every one of them. Look what the next verse says. Friend, they were not worshiping a golden calf. Verse 42 says, God turned and gave them up to worship what? What is the host of heaven? Sun, moon, the stars. Now, wait a minute. Let's get this clear. They're bowing down in front of a golden calf, but God says they're worshiping the sun, the moon, and the stars. Now, how could they be worshiping the sun, moon, and stars when they're worshiping a golden calf? Because the symbol of the golden calf came from the jewelry which was made, a origin of it was the sun, moon, and stars. And to God, they were worshiping those heavenly bodies. And that's why I say, brothers and sisters, don't miss what the devil is doing to his people, because it's coming within the church. It started with one little thing, and it goes to another thing, and it goes to another thing, and it goes to another thing. Don't miss it. I'm saying this in love and kindness. We've got to get back to God. And if there was no other time in history but today, today we need to be getting cleaned up, because we're about to go into the promised land. And we don't want to be accused of worshiping the sun, moon, and stars. See, spiritualism comes in many, many different forms. And the devil is after every one of us to deceive and destroy us any way he can. Let me share something else with you that deals with this same thing. Turn to Revelation 17, if you would, please. Revelation chapter 17, and look here at verse 4. Talking about the woman Babylon, God says this. Revelation 17, 4. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Revelation 18, 1 through 5 says this, come out of Babylon, my people. Here it says, she is decked out, the false church. God says, come out of her, my people. What does that mean? You know, we look at that verse, it says, come out. We think that means, well, we've got to go and get those people out of the other churches and bring into our church. That's bringing them out, coming out. But what about us already in? Maybe we need to come out a little bit and come closer to Jesus. It's all a relationship thing, friends. Now, don't get me wrong. I've read Spirit of Prophecy on this and quote after quote, and I'll go right along with it. It says this. It says, bring a person to Jesus first, and all these things will fall into place. And I believe that. So it's a relationship thing. The closer I get to Jesus, the more I want to do what He says, even though it goes against what I want to do. It's got to be a heart thing. That's why Jesus says, if you love me, do what? Keep my commandments. He said, if you don't love Him, He don't even want you to keep His commandments. Because you can't anyway. It has to come through a personal relationship. Go with me to Jeremiah 13. Jeremiah chapter 13. I want you to see something here. And look here at Jeremiah 13 verse 10. Notice the wording. Jeremiah 13 verse 10. It says, this evil people which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their heart, and walk after other, what's the word? Here's that word again. To serve them, to worship them, shall even be as their girdle, or this girdle, which is good for nothing. For as the girdle cleaveth to the loins of a man, and so have I caused to cleave unto me the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah, saith the Lord, that they might be unto me for a people, and for a name, and for a praise, and for a glory. And then he ends the verse, but they would not hear. Wow! God wants to use us, amen? He wants to use us. He wants to get us ready for what is coming on planet Earth. We must never try to justify ourselves by saying, what I do is okay just because I do it. In Luke 16:15, God uses a very strong word. Let me show you here. Luke 16:15. And here's what the Lord says. Chapter 16:15 of Luke. It says, and he said unto them, you are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Wow. What strong language. And I've had people to say to me, John, I wear this or I wear that. I'm a high school senior. Birthstone. Wedding? Married? It says I'm married. Friends, I say this kindly. If I have to wear a ring to prove that I'm married to my wife, then hey, I know I love her. I know she's my wife. Men come up and flirt with her. Hey, she's got a responsibility, right? If women flirt with me, I have a responsibility. I don't have to do this. I don't. But let me tell you something. My wife, when people, she used to work for several doctors. And people would come in there sometimes and would talk to her. I remember one time she told me a man came in and invited her out for supper one night. And she said, well, yeah, I'd love to. You don't mind if I bring my husband along, do you? I mean, usually, you know, depending on what you say, can take care of a lot of the problems, you know. But I know we're in love. And I know we're married. If you go back to the history of the wedding ring itself, it goes way back, way back. And the man was the one that put it on the woman. It wasn't until some years later, I don't even know when, but history, you can look up in the history books that tells about it, that the women actually started putting them on the man's finger. But originally it was a symbol. You put that round circle and it meant she was under bondage to that man. But here's what they did in history. They would come together on a full moon. Now listen to this. They'd wait till there was a full moon. The man and woman would come together. And they would stand there before some priestess or priest or whatever, and they would perform a wedding ceremony. They would give them a little bit of honey, and they would send them off on their honeymoon. Isn't that cute? And you know, the Bible says, now this is in the Bible, I have to look it up for you if somebody asks me where it is, but it talks about the honeymoon in the Bible, and a honeymoon in God's people should last 1 year. My wife and I have been on our honeymoon for 30-some years. And we plan to go another, ever how long the Lord tarries. Acts 5, praise the Lord. Acts 5:29 says this, we ought to obey God rather than man. Now listen to what the Spirit of Prophecy says about Acts 5:29. This is in Review and Herald, October 1, 1895. I quote it. It says, we are not to inquire what is the practice of men or what is the custom of the world. We are not to ask, how shall I act in order to have the approval of men? Or what will the world tolerate? The question of intense interest to every soul is, what hath God said? We are to read His Word and obey it, not swerving one jot or tittle from its requirements, but acting irrespective of human traditions and jurisdiction. Boy. What does God say? Amen? That's what's really, really important. Now, I thought this was interesting. Just put a little adding to this, what I was just reading about or telling you about. This came out of U.S. Today, Tuesday, December 18, 2001, less than a year ago. It says, serious illness studies find, and this is what it says, doctors, nurses, and other health care providers who wear rings may be spreading bacteria among patients in hospitals, a new study says. Researchers at Cook County Hospital in Chicago reported Monday at the American Society for Microbiology meeting that a random sample of health care workers' hands found 76% of those who wore a ring were contaminated by bacteria versus 29% of those with no ring. 94% of those wearing more than one ring had bacteria on their hands. I thought that was kind of interesting that that would be in the news like that. Now, let me go to the symbols. There are all kinds of symbols, and I'll give you a copy of this. The pentagram, the hexagram, the number 666, the upside-down cross, the signs of the zodiac, the goat head. Remember back in the 60s? How many old enough that you were a teenager back in the 60s? Oh, I've got a few. But anyway, you remember the little peace symbol we wore back in those days, 50s and 60s? And it was a symbol of a peace? You ever wondered why the cross was bent the way it was bent? Listen to this. It is a mockery of the cross of Christ. A person joining Satanism may, in a ritual, be handed a ceramic cross to invert and break down the cross bars in order to show his rejection of Jesus Christ. Wow. And then the yin-yang. See that on the kids' jackets? You see it all around. Had a young lady coming to one of our meetings, and she brought me her martial art things here she had won. She was in martial arts. She said, "Hey, I want to add these to your collection." I said, "Well, what for?" She said, "Look at it." And right on each one of them is the yin and the yang as a symbolism of satanic worship. And when you get your paper, you can read all about that. And we could go on and on, but you'll be able to read this for yourself. How many have ever seen one of these? Given to me by a precious Catholic lady. Love the Lord. She said, I no longer have to do the prayer beads or the Hail Marys. She said, I know the truth about death. I know the truth about spiritualism. She said, I go directly to God through Jesus Christ now. And friends, that's where it is. Salvation is through Jesus Christ. Amen. We don't have to follow in that. To show you how serious this thing is about spiritualism, I was up in Reading, Pennsylvania a few years ago conducting a meeting, and I had a man from the police department coming. He gave me a copy of this. He said, "You're not going to believe this after I spoke on this subject." He said, "But when there's a death or something takes place in our town, we will check the date. And if it corresponds with one of the spiritualistic dates, it can kind of lead us to the right people and to the right sources of who committed this crime." And friends, people are taking this thing serious around the world because Satanism is growing, some say, as fast or faster than Christianity. To me, it's already bypassed Christianity. I'll tell you why. You go in the grocery store, what do you see on the shelves when you go out? Horoscopes. It's all over the place. Fortune telling. Maybe you've seen the lady that comes on TV. "Oh, it's so good to have you today. If you'll just call me right now, I've got a message from God." Oh, have you seen that one? Friends, listen. What is it? Oh. It's becoming a big thing. And people, and you'll be amazed at how many people go to these people. I was conducting a meeting in another state some years ago. A lady coming, she said, "I want you to pray for my boyfriend." I said, "Well, tell me a little bit about him." She said, "He's a lawyer in town. He's the big lawyer in this town. We're going to get married soon." She said, "The reason I want you to pray for him is because he goes to a psychic every time before he goes into a special case, a big case, and he contacts this psychic to help him to make the right decisions." Friends, I mean, these are lawyers, presidents, governors. They've even claimed that, you know, back some years ago, they claimed that psychics would go to the White House for certain presidents that were contacting the psychics for messages. We're in trouble, but we're also getting ready to go up, amen? Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming soon. What time? All right, right on. Very good. Listen to this. Reader's Digest dares you to delve into the mysterious worlds of demons and dreams, telepathy and trances, ghosts and haunted houses, life after death, out-of-body experiences. Have you ever had the feeling, "I've been here before"? Everybody's getting on the bandwagon, selling books, selling materials, Psychic training in Berkeley. Oh, it's becoming a big thing all over the world. More people turning to psychics. We see it everywhere. Here's another one. Talks about the psychics. Mary movement raises concern. They're claiming they're seeing Mary here and there all over the world. Friends, if that's not Mary, who is it? Ah. Now listen closely to me. Some of you here may have had the experience of a dead loved one who's passed on. Maybe some night in your mind in a dream, or maybe you actually saw it. That person came back and stood by your bed. It happened to my mother. Let me tell you something. If it ever happens, don't communicate with it. Don't, even though it may look just like your mom or your dad or someone you love so much, do not communicate with it. Immediately begin to pray and ask in the name of Jesus to take it away. That's the safest thing to do, friends, because the devil will start using these things. Pilgrims, brave elements for virgin. You ever heard of Conyers, Georgia? That's not too far from where I live. I live right on the line, Georgia and South Carolina. But down in Conyers, Georgia, every year, people come from all over the country to this lady by the name of Nancy Fowler, who claims that she gets messages from the Virgin Mary. This last year, they came by the thousands. It was pouring down rain, and they were standing out there in the rain as the rain came down, waiting for a message. Oh, my dear friends, we know the truth about death. Virgin Mary being seen in other parts of the world. Here's one. It is reported that since June of 1981, the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Jesus, has been appearing daily to a group of young people in a remote mountain village in Yugoslavia. This was back a few years ago. But hey, these are things that are happening, my friends. Spiritualism. Here's another interesting article about it. Merchants feel the power of New Age bracelet craze. This was a New Age bracelet craze, and what they said, this particular bracelet would bring powers, give people powers for different reasons. We don't need to get our power from these things, amen? We need to get our power from Jesus Christ. I've got a few more minutes, so I can add a few, little more, okay? Secret societies. Brothers and sisters, you remember the first day we met together, what I said? Some of us come into this church, God's remnant church, in different ways. Some have been told 13 things. Some have been shared 5 things. Some have been shared 28 things. We all need to be shared with and told that Jesus is the answer. Give Him everything. But the secret society is a real thing, my friends, the Scottish Rites. Let me share something with you. Given to me by a Mason of high degree. Listen to this. Taken from the book he gave me. He wasn't supposed to do that, but he came out, gave his life to Jesus Christ. Do you know what convinced him to come out? He came to me and he said, when I shared this subject, he said, "You're all wrong." He said, "Man, Masons are doing a great work." And I don't deny that, friends. It's very possible they are. But here's what I told him to do. I said, "You go home, you take all your books, and you begin to read them, and you find one place where Jesus Christ is lifted up and glorified, and then I'll change my opinion on what I'm saying in these meetings. He came back the next night, brought me his books, put them on the table. He said, "I want to give my life to Jesus and be baptized." It's not found in the books. God is mentioned over and over again, but it can be any God. Listen to what they say. "The all-seeing eye, whom the sun, moon, and stars obey, and under whose watchful care even comets perform their stupendous revolutions, pervades the inmost recesses of the human heart and will reward us according to our merits." Sun, the moon, the stars. Listen to this. The Master Mason, page 10. "The same elements existed in the story of Osiris, which was celebrated by the Egyptians in their ancient temples. The old Persians told it concerning Mithras, their hero god. In Syria, the Dionysian mysteries had the very same elements in the story of Dionysus. For the Romans, Bacchus was the god who died and lived again. There is also the story of Thomas, older than any of these. These are collectively referred to as the ancient mysteries. They were celebrated by secret societies, much like ours, with allegorical ceremonies, during which the initiates were advanced from one degree to another in these old societies. Read these old stories for yourself and marvel how men in all ages have taught the same great truths as we teach." Whoa! Albert Pike, head of Freemasonry, he made this statement about Lucifer in his book, or in the book, Occult Theocracy, page 220 and 221, that Lucifer was very much a god of the Masons too. Friends, this is serious stuff, and we need to be searching our hearts. We don't need to belong to society, secret societies or that. We need to belong to Jesus. And we need to put Him first in our lives, my friends, and be ready for His soon coming. So two eras that the devil's going to share with the world and the world's going to believe. You tell a lie long enough and almost the whole world will believe it. The era is going around the world that God changed His Sabbath from the seventh to the first. The lie is going around the world in every country that you don't die when you die. You go someplace or you come back. You go to some parts of the world and you'll walk into some of those villages and you'll see animals walking around in their houses. And you ask them why, and they'll tell you, well, that could be Uncle John and or Uncle Bill or whoever. They can't kill them. They can't kick them out because it just might be a relative that's come back. God told the truth in the beginning. Amen? That's where the lie goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. And you know the strange thing is, Eve knew the truth. You read the story. She said to the serpent, she said, God has said that if we eat of the fruit, we shall surely die. And the serpent said, you shall not die, but when you eat, you shall become as God, little g and an s at the end. Oh, my friends, we need to come back to God's Word. Now, let's see, what else didn't I show you? Here's a couple of things to show you how the devil is working in so many ways. The children, be sight, be hearing, be taste, be feel. He works through all the senses. Here's some kind of, I don't know, some musical group or what it is. It's called the Dio, Sacred Heart. And I thought this was kind of interesting. When you turn this cassette upside down, it spells D-E-V-I-L. Now, that doesn't mean a whole lot. You remember, how many remember the backward masking tapes? You remember those when they came out? Well, you don't need backward masking anymore. They play them forward now. I mean, backward masking's old stuff. But you know there was a song in backward masking that it really shocked me? And it was a song that I really enjoyed, a beautiful song, Stairway to Heaven. When that song is played backward in backward masking, it says, God, Satan is my God, Satan is my God. But hey, they don't play them backwards anymore, it's forward. They'll tell you what they think. They'll say Satan's your God, right forward, right on the tapes. So a lot of people, you'll find a lot of rock and roll singers today wearing crosses around their necks. Did you know that? Wearing big ones or little ones. And you think, well, they must be very religious. But you'll talk to them, and many of them will tell you where they got some of their lyrics from and so forth. Plus, the cross was worn by people long before Jesus was crucified. Where did it come from? In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 8, it says they were worshiping Talmus. The T is the first letter of the name. T, they wore that around their necks because that's who they worshiped. Talmus was kin to the goddess of fertility. That's why you have bunny rabbits and Easter eggs at Easter time. And you know, if you ever ask a person, have you ever wondered why Easter falls on a different Sunday every year? Does that mean that Jesus was crucified and resurrected on a different Sunday every year? Doesn't make sense. Let's stay with the Word. Thank God for His resurrection. Amen. Thank God that He went to the cross to die for me and you. Thank God that He wants to give me and He wants to give you the power to live above all these things and to be ready when Jesus comes in the clouds of heaven. I want to be ready. What about you? How many here want to be ready when He comes? Will you raise your hand? Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for this night or this evening. We thank You, Lord, that we could open the Bible and study the truths in Your holy Word. Now, Father, help us to take these things to heart. Help us to walk with Jesus. And as we come upon the verge of the kingdom, when Jesus is coming back, speak to us, Lord. Convict us. Help us to understand clearly what Your Word says and to walk with You, not to follow man, but to follow Jesus Christ, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and is coming soon. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.